cousin on yesterday, and he said to me, he said, man, he said, I never would have thought growing up that out of all of us, you would be a pastor. And I was like, yeah, I said, I still can't believe it at times, but I said, but it's true. I said, I am the pastor. So, I mean, I never would have thought, you know, I would be called upon to be the pastor out of all that, my cousins. But nevertheless, God chose me, amen, and he called me, and I accepted the calling. Amen. Not wanting to be a pastor, I fought it, you know, tremendously. I did fight it. And seeing what my grandfather went through as a pastor, I said, oof. I said, Lord knows, I don't want to go through that. So, but what you say you don't want to go through, God takes you through it anyway. Amen. As a teaching moment. Amen. Amen. I'm just thankful for all of you. And thankful for your love and those who have hung in there, you know, who stayed the course. I mean, that's what it's going to take. Amen. So I'm thankful to each and every one of you for the initial startup of Rhema and those of you who have joined since then. So I am thankful for all of you for helping and developing what God has put forth. Amen. Amen. Just for the sake of the men, I did check what's in that pink bag. It's all manly. I want y'all to know that it's man stuff in there. So don't let the outside of the bag fool you. But that's manly stuff that's inside that bag. When she first brought it up, I was getting ready to signal my wife. I think they meant her. And I saw that pink bag coming up here. I was like, I know Mitch was gonna give me some. I knew Mitch was like, ooh, Pastor, pink bag, man, come on. But nevertheless, that's man stuff in that bag. Amen. Amen. Y'all want to check it out after service? Go right on over there just to make sure. Don't be trying to pull my man card. Amen. Because if they get in that man cave, boy, they let you have it. Yeah, so Pastor, what about that pink bag you had Sunday? Amen. But that was a lady shopping for that. Amen. Amen. It's good to laugh and it's good to have fun. Amen. I told Stephanie while she was up here reading, I said, you could have sang all of that to me. And I would have understood it a lot better if you had sang it. Amen. But she didn't. So nevertheless, amen. But thank God for her coming to the ministry. Amen. As you can see her display her skills. Amen. Amen. She's directing the choir, holding the baby, playing the drums with the baby. And I mean, on the keyboard. I mean, just all over. I mean, just kind of old school. Y'all remember that, you know, holding the baby on the hip when you're in the choir and all of that type of stuff. You know, amen, she was old school when she was doing all that, you know, and thank God for her, you know, not losing a beat, because I know I would have been like, come on. I would have been all, I had everybody going all different kind of ways. Tenors would have came in off key, and sopranos would have been off, and, you know, altos would have been here over there, so I've been like, you know, y'all just sing it. Thank God for her coordination. Amen, to keep beat, you know, and play with the baby at the same time. Did y'all see that? I mean, she's directing the choir and playing with the baby at the same time. Multitasking. I mean, praise God for her. Amen. You can tell she's been doing this for a while. Amen. But I thank God for all of you. I mean, thank God for you. Again, being a pastor, I remember growing up in East St. Louis, I wanted to play baseball like Kevin Riggs. Who stepped out for a moment. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play baseball. I didn't, you know, wasn't thinking about church. I was thinking about being on that ball diamond, trying to hang out with him and trying to play with his friends and all of that. But nevertheless, you know, God said, no. You, I got something else in mind for you. But my mind was on playing baseball. God said, yeah, but you don't know what I'm working on right now. Amen. Sometimes we don't see the story. Amen. That God is writing another chapter in our life. Amen. We're looking at the chapter that we're in, but we don't realize that God is working on another chapter that's in our life. Amen. Amen. You remember Joseph, God, he was in the chapter, but there was another chapter that God was writing that Joseph didn't see yet. So many of you don't see the chapters that God has in your life, you know, but you need to just stay the course. Amen. And God will show you that chapter, and soon you will be living in that chapter. Amen. But you got to stay with God. Amen. You got to stay with God. Amen. So without further ado, our speaker for this morning is Minister Cora. Amen. She's going to come and give the word this morning. Amen. Minister Cora is a seasoned minister. One of the things I want to say about her is that she's been a pastor before. Amen. So truly she can say, I understand how you feel, Pastor. Amen. Those who've been through it can really, really say, I know how you feel and mean it. Not somebody just putting words together, but truly she has been a pastor before. So she knows the heartbeat of a pastor, and she understands what a pastor is in need of. So I thank God for her for helping me out in the ministry. Amen. And taking a lot of a load off of me, you know. And again, I thank all of you for putting your whole self in. Amen. And not taking your whole self out. Amen. Because truly, this is a season that I need everybody to put their whole self in. Amen. So just to remind you, just to put your whole self in. But without further ado, Minister Cora is going to come and bring us the word on this morning. Amen.
Do not have a song. Shock of all shocks, right? I just could not think of an appropriate song that went with the message, which is leadership worth following. So I'm like, well, I'm just not going to sing a song. But I sang enough in the choir. The choir works you out. I thank God for the opportunity to bring the word today. And I thank him for our pastor, for all of the tremendous leadership in this house. And I've been here 3 years now. Seems like I've been here forever. in a good way. And I appreciate the pastor's spirit. He's a gifted man, a man of wisdom, but he's also fun. So that's a good thing that he's relatable, and I truly appreciate that. Our anniversary topic is leadership worth following. I don't know if you've ever had a leader in life that you really felt like they weren't worth following. Don't know if you ever had that issue. I've certainly worked in companies where I wonder how in the world did they become a leader, and, you know, and how they were getting paid for such. But not everybody's qualified. But there are qualities for leadership. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And our main scripture is Hebrews. And I thought Stephanie was just going to, you know, preach my message. I thought, well, okay, that's good. Go on, Stephanie. Just take it over. Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 8. And I'm going to read it from the King James Version because that's what the pastor likes. So we want to do what he likes today. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And then from the Message Bible, appreciate your pastoral leaders who gave you the word of God, take a good look at the way they live and let their faithfulness instruct you as well as their truthfulness. There should be a consistency that runs through the leaders. For Jesus doesn't change yesterday, today, tomorrow. He's always totally himself. Amen? Amen. So Paul is talking about religious leaders. But you know, there are not all leaders are religious leaders. Not all leaders are spiritual leaders. This is not a criticism, it's a distinction. There are leaders in organizations that are not spiritual, but there are leaders in organizations that are spiritual. And if you had the opportunity to be under the leadership of someone that is not only wise in the natural, but also wise in the spiritual, you know the difference. You can tell the difference with a spiritual leader. So we're going to look at some general qualities of leadership first, and then we'll talk about those spiritual things. And I want to say to you, how do you know you are a leader? How do you know? Think about that question. How do you know if you're a leader? A better question might be, how do you know if you're not a leader? And the answer to that is, you know that you're not a leader if no one is following you. That's how you know if you're not a leader. If you look behind you and you don't see anybody but you, then you know you got a problem. Many of you are currently in a leadership role in your homes as a husband, as a father, as a mother. You might be a leader on your job as a supervisor or a manager. You might be a leader in school, in a group or a club. And you might even be a leader in friendships. I don't know about you, but I have some friends that I say, where do you want to go for dinner? And they say, I don't know, where do you want to go? And I say, no, you tell me where you want to go. I don't know, you tell me. And ultimately, I end up being the leader. And it's like, why can't anybody make a decision? So in all of your arenas in life, at some point in time, you're going to be a leader. You are going to be a leader at some point in time. So you need to know what leadership qualities are effective and worth having. John Maxwell, who is a leadership guru, he says that everything rises and falls on leadership. So while we're celebrating the church anniversary today, we're going to focus on the pastor because everything rises and falls on him. I'm going to tell you some things that the pastor might want to say, but he knows he can't say, but I can say for him. So I'm going to do that today so you can get upset with me and not him. And as Minister Day said last week, I might need an escort getting out of here. There are four difficult leadership jobs. And Peter Drucker, who's another leadership guru, says the four hardest leadership jobs in America. One, you guessed it, the President of the United States. A university president is two. Number three I thought was really interesting, a CEO of a hospital. Isn't that something? And number four, a pastor. Really? I can understand a CEO, I can understand the president, but a pastor? Pastor loves God, he loves people, he likes to pray, he likes to lead people to God, and sometimes he even gets paid. Sounds like a dream job to me. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And as the pastor said, I can really speak to this because I've been a pastor and have no desire to be a pastor again ever in this life, which is why I readily do what he asked me to do. Being a pastor is hard work, and it is truly not for wimps. You cannot be a weakling and be a pastor. You got to have some backbone. There are approximately 85% of the churches in America that have less than 200 people. There are 60% of churches that have under 100 people. and the average size congregation has 89 people. Now, I'm sure we have 89 people on our roll. We probably have 100 on our roll, but we don't see 89 here this morning, do we? In many situations, the pastor needs to be many things. And here are a few things a pastor needs to be. In case you're wondering if what he's doing, if he's just, you know, bringing the word every now and then, you know, spend an hour or two a day, you know, a week on studying. It takes a whole lot more than that. Most pastors need to be Bible teachers, accountants, strategists, visionaries, a computer tech, a media expert, a counselor, a public speaker, a worship director, a singer, a musician, a prayer warrior, a mentor, a leadership trainer, and a fundraiser. You want that job? Want that job? Now, it is a blessing that in this congregation, the pastor doesn't have to wear all those hats, but guess what? He's responsible for all those hats. That's a lot of hats to be responsible for. There are some unique challenges to being a pastor. So I say to you, when I tell you these challenges, if you see yourself in it, promise yourself that you're not going to challenge the pastor like that anymore, because he doesn't really need these challenges. You know the saying, the buck stops here? Well, that applies to the pastor. Whatever is wrong in the church, guess whose fault it ultimately is? No matter what it is, the buck stops with him. So his first challenge is criticism. Pastor, the music is too loud. The music's not loud enough. Worship is too long. Worship is not long enough. I don't like that kind of music. The sermon's not deep enough. Sermon's too long, sermon's too short, sermon's too deep. Pastor talks too much about offerings. Pastor doesn't talk enough about money. He knows we need a roof. He needs to talk more about it. Criticism. All of us have been guilty of that. So let's just say God forgive us. As every one of us have said something like that at some point in time. I didn't get nothing out of that message. I don't know where he got that message from. That message wasn't for me. You know, we have those criticizing moments. And that's a challenge for the pastor, because he has to think, boy, I wonder, did they get this? Because they're looking at me like glassy-eyed, like, you know, I'm really not getting you. But yet he has to continue on up here and minister, no matter what he sees out there. Like I'm looking at my two grandchildren that are asleep over there. The little darlings, yes. Number two challenge, rejection. People leave the church, and whether it's the pastor's fault or not, he feels some burden. He feels some responsibility. And that's a challenge. Does anybody like rejection? Do you like rejection? No one likes rejection. Most people leave and never even tell the pastor why they left. And when they do, it doesn't make the rejection any easier, because when they say something, it's like, I wasn't getting fed. Nobody liked me. Somebody didn't speak to me. Somebody stepped on my feet. Somebody made me do something I didn't want to do. I didn't want to use my gift, and they made me use it. I wanted to use my gift, and they didn't let me use it. So many reasons. Another challenge is betrayal. And I know none of you have done that, so we're good. But I'll just throw it out there so you know in the future. Like the Judas kiss. 40% of pastors have a church conflict every month. Can you imagine that? 40% of pastors have to deal with conflict. And thank God we don't have to deal with that here. But most of the conflict usually comes from leadership, which is even worse. The fourth challenge is loneliness. It is challenging to be a pastor and find a trustworthy friend that's going to listen to you without judging you and that won't put your business out to the congregation. The pastor needs someone that he can vent to, just like we all do. He needs someone that he can vent to. But you know, if he's too close to somebody, what are you going to say? He's showing favoritism. He liked that person more than he liked me. And on the other hand, if he's not friendly with anybody, he's standoffish. He's a snob. He never talks to anybody. So he can't win. So enter his wife. Thank God for Sister Sonia. She is the listening ear. She is the one that he can vent to, that he can talk to. But for us, we need to remember that the pastor needs friends just like everybody else. Stop putting him on a pedestal, because no one should be on a pedestal, because when you're up there, you'll be brought down. You all know that by many, many of leaders, many leaders that have been, you know, there was Jimmy Swaggart, there was Jim Baker, there are many people that have been on a pedestal and been brought down. So don't put them there, because they don't need to be there. Number five is weariness. Did you know that 50% of all ministers that start out don't last 5 years? So we just need to give him a hand for 11. You just need to give him a hand. Those people that started out, they really believe that God called them. They believe God called them. But by the time the members got through with them, they had their doubts. And they realized, I got to get out of this job. And then the sixth challenge is frustration and disappointment. And this comes in many ways. And one of them is, it's very difficult to judge success as a pastor. How do you judge success? You judge it by the amount of members? Do you judge it by how good the worship service is, the financial stability of the church? Do you judge it by how many souls you bring in? Do you judge it by outreach? How do you judge it? A pastor has to deal with all that to know when he's successful. All of these challenges would make anyone think twice about being a pastor. We thank God that we have a pastor that wants to be a pastor. In spite of all those challenges, in spite of all those challenges, he still wants to lead. So what does it take to be a leader that's worth following? Somebody that you really want to follow? I'm going to give you some general leadership qualities. And this is for anybody. Remember, if you're a husband, a father, a mother, a leader in an organization, you should have all these qualities. So don't think this message is just for the pastor. It's for anybody. And remember what we said earlier. At some point in time, you're going to be a leader. So you need to know these qualities. You need to be organized. Have you been in the pastor's office? Does it look organized? He doesn't look like he doesn't know what he's doing? What do you think about somebody that's leading you and they're totally disorganized? What do you think? Do you feel comfortable? Do they make you feel good? Of course not, because you think they're confused because they can't find anything. I had a boss and her desk was just a mess. Everything in her office was a mess. And she always said, I know where it is. I just can't find it right now. So therefore, you never got anything done because she could never find anything right now. So as a leader, you need to be organized. You need to be consistent. Wouldn't it be annoying if every year he gave you a new set of goals and you never completed any because he changed his mind and he gave you the goals in January, he changed his mind in March, then again in July, then again in October? Wouldn't that be annoying? A leader needs to be consistent. Consistency makes you feel safe and it gives you security. A leader needs to follow up. Doesn't it annoy you when you call people and they never answer, call you back? Does it bother you when a person never calls you back? Or you ask them a question and they never answer you? Does that not annoy you? It's not a good leadership quality. A leader needs to be an encourager. One of the primary responsibilities of a leader is to embolden those he leads. Members take pride in what they do. Minister Day said it well last week when she talked about how Deborah encouraged Barack. The pastor praises the ministers on the music ministry. He praises everybody. He praises the men. He praises the ushers. He's always saying how he appreciates you. That's a good quality. There are pastors that never tell you they appreciate you. So you should not take that for granted. A leader has to be ethical. Being ethical means that you do what is right even when nobody's looking. It's been said that everybody knows on his job that he is a pastor. He's a leader because he does not change when he goes to work. He doesn't just act spiritual here. He acts spiritual wherever he is. He knows how to walk ethically. It's also, being ethical is also not taking credit for other people's work. Have you ever had a leader and they took credit for your work? They had a great idea and they took the idea and ran with it and it became their idea? Not a good thing. Not a good thing. And thank God our leader doesn't do that. He leads by example. True leaders don't expect others to do anything that they are not willing to do themselves. He doesn't do many things around the church because the men won't let him, but it's not because he wouldn't do it if he had to. But he doesn't have to, and we thank God for that. And since we're talking about all leaders, leaders in the home, let me just say, husbands, you can lead by example by washing dishes, you know, washing clothes, you know. You might want to cook if you know how to cook. Some people don't know how to cook, so don't cook. Yeah. Leaders are fair. They walk in fairness. There's nothing worse than someone that has favoritism and likes other people over other people, and it's very obvious. That's not a good leader. Do you want to be a leader like that? Of course not. Proverbs 16:18 says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. We want to be fair. Leaders walk with humility. True leaders are humble. They're concerned about what's right, and they understand that strength is in humility. That's not a weakness. It's not a weakness. It's powerful to walk in humility. It's the highest form of self-respect when you walk in humility. Proverbs 16:18 and 19 talks about pride going before destruction. Our pastor does not want accolades, but that does not mean that we should not give it to him like we did today. He needs to know that we love him. Even though he has a humble spirit, he needs to know that he's loved. A leader leads with trust. They're reliable. You can trust their word. They do what they're going to say, what they say they're going to do. And in return, they get followers that are loyal and respectful. I can truly say that because of Pastor Ronnie's leadership, he has good followers. He has a good leadership team that follow him and do what he expects them to do. Why? Because they respect him, they're loyal to him, and they know he's walking with God. A leader leads with confidence and not arrogance. Nothing worse than somebody being the head and acting like they're the head. You do what I say. You better do what I say. I don't care if you don't like it. Do it. You want a leader like that? No. No one wants a leader like that. And last but not least, leaders are teachable. A good leader should always be learning, growing, and improving. The day that you feel that you have nothing to learn is the day that pride has taken root. You need to be teachable. Our pastor goes to Bible study. Half of you don't come to Bible study, and he certainly knows more than you all. Most of the people in Bible study know more than the people that don't come. But we're always learning and growing and improving. So those are the characteristics of a regular, ordinary leader. But then there are some characteristics of a spiritual leader. How should a spiritual leader lead? They lead others into their own encounters with God. His whole goal is that he be like Jesus, that took his disciples and had them walk with them. They walked with Jesus because he led them to an encounter with God. And this is what the pastor is trying to do with us every week. He wants to lead us to that encounter. A leader leads others to discover their own purpose and identity. Spiritual leadership is characterized by generosity, which means a spiritual leader wants others to find out what they're good at. And there's one thing I can say about this church, they're going to push you into your own identity and help you with your purpose, whether you like it or not. If you're smart, you will not let Tanya hear you sing ever. Because the minute she hears that you can carry a tune, she will be on you. And please don't tell Sister Sabrina you know how to do anything. Don't tell her you know how to do anything. Because the minute you tell her, you will be on that committee. It's nothing worse than someone functioning in an area that they're not good at. So as a spiritual leader, he knows how to gently nudge somebody out of something they're not good at and put them somewhere else without them even realizing they weren't good at what they were doing. That's a good leader. A good leader, spiritual leader, leads you into transformation and not just production. So he's leading you into being transformed and not just being an usher or being in the choir, not just doing, but wanting to do because you have a new life, because you've been transformed. A spiritual leader impacts his atmosphere. We might not be able to stop a tempest, but we can sure change the temperature. We can change the temperature in an environment. Isn't that a good thing that you can change the temperature? When he comes in a room, he's able to see what's going on, and he's able to change that temperature. A spiritual leader knows how to listen. He doesn't interrupt you when you're talking. He pays attention to you. He's genuine. And you can also trust a good listener not to put your business out in the street. The pastor hears all kinds of stories, but he doesn't come back up here at the pulpit and say, "Well, you know, I just heard that Sister so-and-so was doing something she shouldn't have been doing, and so I want to preach on that today." Would you like that? Would you like that? Of course not. That's not what a good leader does. If they're going to talk about something, it's not because you told it to them. It's because God told them through the word. So don't get mad when you're sitting out there and the word hits you. It's not because he's been told something. He has been told something, but he's been told by God. And the word is cutting you. The word is hitting you. The word is biting you. It's not the pastor telling on you. A spiritual leader knows how to help people see old things in new ways. I just loved the message last week because I had never heard that scripture taken into that context of Deborah and Barak. That was a new way. That's what a spiritual leader does. They help you see things of old in a new way. And a spiritual leader gains a following because of who they are and not the title they hold. He has a following because of who he is. Spiritual leaders influence more than they direct. They inspire more than they instruct. They are intuitively recognized that there is something, someone larger than them, and it's not about them. So I hope I've given you some food for thought this morning about leadership, and perhaps you will think more about the pastor and his wife as leaders and realize that you can be better, and you, if you're a leader in your home, you can be more effective by taking on some of these qualities. And in closing, I think you should know that 1,700 pastors left the ministry last year. 1,700. 48% of pastors say that they have experienced burnout and they would have left, but they wanted to follow the call of God, so they just didn't. So we should truly thank God for our pastor who has not left us and wants to lead. So, Pastor, we want to, as the congregation, pray for your protection, pray that you receive guidance, pray that you have healthy friends, pray that your marriage and family is sound, pray that you are inspired every day, pray that you're anointed. We pray that you have unity in the body of Christ. We want to encourage you and thank you for being a man of God. And I say to you, persistence is powerful. You need to know your labor is not in vain. Your sacrifices mean something to us. Don't throw your confidence away. Don't put your trust in man, because know that your reward is great if you faint not. Know that you, if you patiently endure, you will receive everything that God has promised. Do not get tired of doing good, because just at the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing that is more than you could ever attain. We love you. We honor you. We respect you. Praise God.
Amen, amen. I thank Minister Corver for the message. Amen. Honestly, when she spoke just briefly about pastors wanting to quit, I ran into a pastor that threw in the towel. Amen. And when I looked at him, this brother was literally defeated. Beat down, defeated, and just done, and gave up the ministry. Started around the same time I did, and he quit. He said, "I'm done. I'm out. I'm done. I don't even want to do this anymore." And I just lifted up. I just, prayed for the brother inside, because it is a tough job. Amen. It is a tough job. But I thank Minister Cora for the message that she brought forth, because I need to hear that. Amen. I know that when you're at a restaurant, we love the waitress. Hey, give me another refill. Give me. I would. My biscuit is not warm enough, and this is not right. Can you do this? We like to see people running and doing all this stuff, and while we just sitting there and enjoying the meal. But I needed to hear this message. Amen. Sometimes we can be so into ourselves that we forget about that somebody else need to be fed. Somebody else need to hear the word. Somebody else need to be ministered to. Somebody else need to be served. Amen. So I thank Minister Cora for that message on today. It really just blessed my soul. And basically, it makes me want to run on. Amen. Amen. It lit a fire underneath me. Amen. It put some ump in me. Amen. I mean, nobody wants to drink a soda flat, right? Amen. You want some substance in that. Amen. So she kind of gave me a little stimulant. Amen. It motivation is what you need. Amen. Amen. You know, something to remember. Amen. Something to feed off on. So I'm definitely going to revisit this message on the website. Amen. And go back over it again. And again. And again. Amen. Come on, brothers. We're going to open up the doors of the church. We extend an invitation to Christ. The doors of the church is open. This is a part of the service where we extend an invitation to Christ. And basically what this is saying is that if you want to reunite, you can do this at this time. And if you don't have a church home, this is an opportunity for you to come forward and make this your church home. So we extend an invitation to you to come forward and say, this is where you want to worship. Make it known. Amen. Amen to everyone. Let us all stand. Is there anyone, any announcements? Any announcements? Amen. Amen. Again, I am thankful for all of you. Amen. Thankful for you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this Spirit-filled day. Father God, I thank you for our speaker on this morning, Minister Cora. Father God, we lift her up to you, and we ask that you continue to bless her and keep her, Father God. And I pray for each and every one that is here underneath the sound of my voice, Lord. Bless them and keep them, Lord, and have your way in their lives, Father God. I thank you. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, let the church say, I was going to say she need an escort.